This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. We did a series a couple of years ago about food, specifically about how we're going to feed all the people who are going to be living on this planet by the middle of the century. Food for 9 billion, it was called. The stories are, of course, on our website, should you be curious. National Geographic, though, is out in its new issue with a series of its own on how to handle our food dilemma. Jonathan Foley wrote the cover story for Feeding 9 Billion. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kai.
We are going to have more people on this planet by the middle of the century, 2 billion or so more. And yet you say we need to double the amount of food we produce to feed everybody? Help me do the math.
Yeah, that's kind of the interesting dilemma we have. What's really happening is we have about 3-4 billion people in the world who are already here, who are getting richer. It's this new global middle class is China, India, Brazil, Russia, and all the rest. And as they've gotten richer, they're eating more and more meat and dairy products and more resource-consumptive foods. They're becoming more like the Europeans or, God forbid, like the American diet. So that's really why we're looking at a big explosion in food demand. One is population growth, but more importantly is the economic growth and associated changes in diet.
Even besides the math, there is another conundrum, I guess, in this piece that you wrote for National Geographic. You say we have to grow more food, we have to have more food, but you want us to freeze the world's agricultural footprint. That is the amount of land we are clearing to grow stuff, which is an extraordinary amount of land.
Oh, it really is. Right now, we use about 16 million square kilometers of land to grow crops, which is about the size of South America, to put that in perspective, and even more, about the size of Africa, to grow animals in our pastures and rangelands. In fact, 40% of all of the land on Earth is used to grow food right now. And if we want to double the amount of food, we can't just suddenly go to 80% of the planet, because a lot of that's desert or things we'd like to keep, like rainforest and ecosystems and biodiversity.
Is there a solution to be found in technology? I was out with Jim Fallows from The Atlantic in South Dakota a number of months ago, and I rode around on this GPS-guided tractor that was dropping seeds within a millimeter of where it was supposed to drop, and then it would come back and fertilize within that same millimeter and thus increasing the yield and eliminating, you know, yield gaps and all of that stuff.
Well, absolutely. That's one area of solution. I don't think it's a silver bullet, but it's a lot of silver buckshot over there because it's allowing us to be much more precise and efficient with how we use chemicals, water, applying seeds, harvesting. You know, that's really appropriate kind of technology in maybe American farms, especially the big ones. But in other parts of the world, we have to kind of meet people where they are. It might be more low-tech approaches like reusing cover crops and manures and compost. And I think we're going to need all of this stuff, a little bit of the high tech, a little bit of the medium tech, and a lot of the low tech. And maybe we'll pull it off.
And not only that, but just stop wasting stuff. I mean, the amount of food that goes into the trash can is crazy.
Well, that's the biggest opportunity of all, but it gets the least real serious attention. It turns out about 30, 40, maybe even 50% of all the food grown in the world is never consumed. And it's only when the math only works if you look at what we can do to grow more, but also save more of what we've grown and make sure it does the job it's intended to do, which is nourish people's lives.
John Foley wrote the cover story in the new National Geographic. It's their series called Feeding 9 Billion. It's about an 8-month or so long series. He's also the director of the Institute on the Environment up at the University of Minnesota. John, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Kai. I really appreciate it.